good to see everyone. Hope we're doing well. Hope you guys had a blessed week. If you haven't met me or I see some new faces, my name is Pastor Ian. I am one of the pastors here at Antioch Wesleyan Church. And it's just great to see you. It's great to be with you on this fine day. It's finally not insanely hot, which is great. I think we can just praise God for that and be able to walk outside and not melt. So, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 28 today. This is honestly one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and there's just so much to it. I was actually sitting with Pastor Sean this morning, and you know, we just chat about sermons and sermon prep and stuff, and I was letting him know it's one of these things where the more simple verses in the Bible become more complex to talk about, at least to write about, for me to sermon prep, because there's so much to unpack. There's so much you can do. There's so much you can talk about. There's so many different ways you can go about it, even though it's a very simple, straightforward passage. But it is one of my favorite, and we are going to talk about the Great Commission today and how it reflects, why does God choose me? You know, our series, Why Me, Why Them? Why does God choose me in this purpose, in his mission? Why? And why is God asking me to reach them? Why is God calling us to go into the world around us? And the Great Commission really just encompasses that. And before we get started, just so I don't forget, the one thing that I really loved about the song we just sang, the verse that says, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. Because we are not perfect. We're not meant to be perfect, but through Christ, we are made whole. And it's through him that we have this ability to be perfect in the eyes of God, to go forward to him because of what Christ has done. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 28, we're going to start in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you to the very end of the age. So God's desire is to use us for his glory, to use us for his profound, this profound privilege, there we go. It's one of those words, I guess. This profound privilege of this divine calling from the Lord, to use us, broken sinners, to use us. And to ask us to carry on and share his gospel message. So God reveals in these verses this ultimate plan for each of us to be his disciples and that impact that we are meant to make on the world around us. But God just doesn't send us out alone, right? God just doesn't say, here you go. Have fun. But God's authority and our calling, our first point this morning, that God's authority and our calling. So in verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So this shows the authority that Christ has, the power that just
aligns with him, the power that he has to show his supreme authority. Because one, he needed to remind them and show them because Jesus walked the earth, right? As flesh. And reminding them of his authority, that all has been given to him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To remind them that, look at what you've witnessed. Look at who I am. Look at who you walked with. Who was crucified on a cross to bear the burdens of your sins. Who died but then rose again on the third day and is now talking to them. This is after Jesus was crucified that he's having this conversation. After the burial and is now resurrected and he's having a conversation with his disciples. We can see that because he's having a conversation with the 11, right? A lot of people will say, like, there's 12 disciples. We know that number 12. But Judas betrayed Jesus, and he's no longer in the picture. So he's having this conversation with the 11, and this authority being shown by, I have died, I have risen again, I am now talking to you. Remember the authority that he has. So through this conversation, they doubted. But some doubted. They praised and worshiped him, but some doubted. So he had to remind them, the authority that I have has been given to me because of who I am, the Son of God. And if you go back to Matthew 11, verse 27, long before his death and resurrection, it says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus Christ is revealing the authority and revealing the Father through his life. He has chosen to reveal the Father to his 11 disciples standing before him. And he will now give them authority and the responsibility to represent him and his salvation to the world. That's a great responsibility. To be asked to share the gospel. It's not just, oh, read this, look at that. It is such an honor and a responsibility that we have. Think about when you maybe are in a lower position at work, or you look up to someone, you admire someone, they are just on top of their game in whatever field they're in. And they come to you and say, hey, will you watch this for me real quick? Will you take this somewhere for me? Will you do this task for me? Right? And you're like, the big man upstairs just asked me to do something. I'm going to cherish it. Maybe it's an envelope that you have to deliver downtown. Who knows? But that mentality we have when you see something like that, we can all picture that, right? Jesus is doing the same thing. He's asking for us to take and share the gospel message, to take the responsibility he has, that he was showing, that he lived out day after day and says, carry this on for me. Take this. Because Christ is going to be leaving. And during that time, he says, share this with the world. The disciples have been following Jesus. They have been learning, being taught, observing Jesus in his life. And he is now asking them to do this. They've gone out at times. The disciples have gone out. They have shared the gospel in different ways, but the difference was they always came back to Christ, right? They always came back. They reconvened. They got to meet with Christ, probably sit down and say, okay, here's how my week went. How did yours go? Matthew, how did yours go? And they can kind of talk and reconvene, build their spirits up. Jesus would build them back up and send them out again. But now Jesus is passing that responsibility on to the disciples. He's passing that responsibility on to us to share with the world around us. So we need to embrace with confidence in sharing the gospel. We need to embrace this ability that we have that says, go into the world. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Share the gospel. And knowing that it's not about our skill, that's the one key thing. So many people are held back because they say, I don't know it. I don't know the Bible. I don't know how to talk like Jesus did. I don't know how to share the love of Christ. I can't speak the way he did. I'm not a public speaker. How can I do that? It's through Christ. It's not about you doing it through you. It's about you doing it through the power of Christ within you and his ability to transform you and make you who he uses. I stand up here as the most introverted person in the world. It is the weirdest thing. To this day, me and my wife talk about it. I am the most introverted person. I've just recently started accepting that maybe I'm a little extroverted. But it's not because it wasn't by choice. But it's over time. I like to be at home. I like to be quiet. I like things quiet around me. But God is using me in different ways. And the times that I am fearful of sharing the gospel, of preaching, of talking to people, I just have to say, God, use me. Fill me with the void that I have that's holding me back and push me forward with the renewing of you and your spirit in my life to share the gospel. Because on my own, I can't do it. But through you, I can do all things. And he uses us. So don't think that you have to be the most prepared, because there's this saying that says, if you wait until you're fully prepared, you'll never start. You'll never do it. You'll never go. But Jesus Christ is fully prepared. Jesus Christ has all the answers. So I just say, use me. Give me the words in this conversation. But we have to be willing to be used. We have to be willing to step out in faith and say, I don't know how this is going to work, but I trust the Lord, my Savior, more than anything. And I know that he's going to carry me through, and I know that he's going to provide, so I'm going to do it. So God is giving the disciples this responsibility to go and share the gospel. And we have the same responsibility to go and share the gospel, because secondly, it is commanded for us to do. In the next verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this direction from Jesus is to directly engage with the community. To go signifies an active participation, to do something, to not sit and wait, but to go out. It's this intentional effort to reach people everywhere. And it's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone each and every day. And we're called to live our life as an example. Over those years, those few years that the disciples had to follow Jesus, they witnessed who Jesus was. They saw how he interacted with people. They saw how he spoke to people. They saw how he approached people that weren't ever approachable by anyone else. The sick, those with disease, those who just people would just outcast. Jesus went to them. And when even when those people came to him, he didn't push them away. They saw that. Over time, you build your understanding of someone by being with them. So accepting Christ into your heart, amazing. First step, right? But when you take your first step, do you just stop there? Keep going, right? When you take when a baby takes its first step, cool, accomplished it, done, ready. No, they're on a mission, right? That first step is probably because mom's holding something. Maybe you have candy. You're like, come and get it, Johnny. But that first step requires a second step. So that first step of accepting Christ is not the end point. It's not the stopping point. We continue moving. We continue growing. We continue learning. For those years, they learned, they saw Jesus, and then Jesus gave them a responsibility to go and make disciples of all nations. To the disciples, Jesus is saying, go do what I have shown you to do. Go do what I have given you the example to do, and do it in a way that glorifies me. We're not meant to go out and glorify ourselves. If you're going out to glorify you and look at me, look at what I know, look at how much I've learned, you're doing the wrong way. Hands down, I am not the smartest person in any given room, unless I'm in a nursery. And even at that time, I'm probably not the smartest. But God uses me. God uses our insecurities, our faults, to glorify him. Because it's not about you being perfect, going out into the world saying, you can be just like me. No. How many people would that turn off? We see it all the time, right? People and ministers and churches go out and they're like, look at what we've done. Look at what we're doing. And people are just like, I don't want to be around that. That's not fun. But Jesus takes sinners, broken people like all of us, and says, go. Because now I can go out into the community and say, look, I'm just as broken as you. I may have a different background, I may have a different past, but I'm just as broken. And guess what? I'm still broken. The only reason why I'm standing on my two feet and look the way I do is because God has renewed me through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has filled me up. Because without Jesus Christ, I would still be the same person. I would still be doing the drugs. I would still be the person I used to be. And yes, people can change. But through Christ, we can really change. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, go. Don't go as perfect. Don't go when you're ready. Go now. Go in your imperfection and show me to the world around you. Show my grace and my mercy, because God has shown me more grace and mercy than I've ever deserved and I ever will. And God has shown you more grace and mercy than any of us ever deserve. And that is why I share the gospel. Because God wants us to share it. God wants us to show others that through Him, through His love and mercy, that we can do all things. Through His authority, what He has and has given us the responsibility to take over, can do all things. It is through Him that we can do that. But we have to grow. And discipleship is also a process of growth. That's one of the things I love about discipleship, is that as you teach somebody, as you help somebody grow, as you help somebody take those steps, you are reinforcing your own. You are learning more in your own life. You are learning about what works, what doesn't work, how does this help, and you are growing alongside somebody else. It's not just a stopping point. You don't just become a follower of Christ and say, okay, I'm good, let me help you get to my point. You're saying, hey, I know where it's better with Christ. Let's go together. Let's build each other up. Let me help you. Let me help guide you. Let me go out into the world around me and say, you don't know Jesus? Man, you're missing out. Because He's a pretty cool dude. I just called Jesus dude. Sorry if that was not nice. But He's amazing. Let me introduce you to Him. Because this relationship that I've been building over the last, I don't want to say that out loud, 21 years? It's great. Great 21 years. But how I was 21 years ago is not who I am today. Because I've been growing. And as I have been in this life of discipleship and being around others and praying with others, I have grown in my own life. It's a mutual thing. It is mutual to grow together. So take it like a marriage. So if you're married, hopefully this is right for you. If you're not married, pay attention, because this will help you out. Before marriage, you get to know somebody. You know who they are, right? But you don't know them. Does that make sense? So we can know Jesus, or we can know about Jesus. And building that relationship, I knew who my wife was. I knew her name, figured out her favorite color, figured out her birthday, figured out what she likes to do, figured out how I can impress her. But it wasn't until we were in a relationship that I began to know my wife. So with Jesus Christ, you can know about Jesus. You can show up to church. You can show up to the events. You can do the things. You can walk the walk. You can say, yes, I know Jesus Christ. I've heard about Him. Great guy. Amazing things. I know Him. But do you know Him? Have you accepted Him into your heart? Have you started to build that relationship? Because there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And there's a lot of people out there that know about Jesus. Social media, everything else in the world, we have the most amazing network of getting information out to the world. But guess what? That also means we have the most horrible way of spreading false information out to the world. So we are called to go share the gospel through our life to represent Christ in the right way. But does a relationship ever stop? Do we ever stop learning about each other? There's things my wife still learns about me, for better or for worse. She learns. She may not like it, but she said, I do. But we've grown to know each other. And through our marriage, we have grown closer. We have become one. If my wife's out doing something and someone's like, what would your husband say? You don't have to ask my wife that. She'll tell you what I would say. She knows me better than I know me. It's like, my children aren't in here. It's like when a child comes and says, hey, Dad, can I do blah, blah, blah? What'd your mom say? Because I already know they went to mom. Mom said no. They're coming to me to try to get the end result. And I'm like, dude, I'm not getting in trouble. You're in the same house. I'm in the same room. I'm not going down that. Not going there. But it's because we know each other. I know what my wife's going to say. If somebody asks me, what do you think about this? My wife's not going to want to do that. Or I might be like, my wife's going to want to do that, so I'm not going to tell her because I don't want to do that. But it's a relationship that is being built. So discipleship is continuing that relationship and building that relationship. So as we go out into the community and share the Word of God, we are learning the Word of God. You can't share something that you don't know. When you get asked questions, you're like, that's a great question. I don't know. You would go back and learn it. So as we grow in our relationship with Christ, it's like that marriage. He is the groom, right? So build the relationship. First step, accept Christ. We don't stop there. We learn, we grow, we build each other up. And this growth through discipleship is we help each other out. So we're called to share the love of Christ with the world around us. But that's because we see the love of Christ that God has given us. We hear what Christ has said about us. We read, we pray, we learn. And then we go out to someone else and we say, I don't know all the answers, but this is amazing. You got to come check it out. And then you help them. Bring someone to church. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to Bible study. Invite someone to pray with you. Show Christ everywhere. And I challenge you, if you think right now how you represent Christ in your life, or do you represent Christ in your life? Is Sunday just a day to you, and then you go about doing your own thing? Or have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and committed your life to Him and said, I'm going to show you in my life. I'm going to show you through how I treat people. I'm going to show your glory through how I talk to people. I'm going to show your love and mercy through how I treat my family, how I am in my marriage, how I am at work, representing Christ. The disciples were able to live and learn from Christ. And then Christ says, go, share the gospel. Go, share me with the world. Because Jesus Christ was leaving. And he handed it over and he says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Before then, there's always been this, the Son of Man. He's saying this because, one, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go is not an option. It's not a request. Go. Commanding us to go and build the gospel, share the gospel, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. So not only are we supposed to go and share the gospel to others by showing the love of Christ. You may not be a public speaker. You may not be the most extroverted person in the world. But we've all heard that saying, right? Actions speak louder than words. People see you. So how are you representing Christ? Or are you at all? Do people see a difference in your life? Do people see you act any different than them if you say you're a Christian and they say that they're not? Because the question really is, do you know about Jesus and you're just saying, I know about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus and you've built that relationship and you've talked with him and you've prayed with him and you've spent time with him, you would know when somebody says something, I know what he would say to that. Jesus would not approve. He would not want me doing that. Nope, I'm not going to do that either, because that's going to get me in trouble. That's going to definitely put me in the doghouse. But it's through a continuing relationship that you build over time. But from day one, from accepting Christ, you can share the gospel. Because from day one, when you accept Christ, you know that you have a loving Father who sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for your sins that you didn't deserve, and rose again so that you can be forgiven. Day one, when you accept Christ in your heart, you have the ability to share that. And then as you learn, you share what you learned. That's how we build disciples. That's how we grow disciples. Our whole life, our whole mission as a church should be to build disciples and grow disciples in our life. To teach people, where are you in your point of Christ? What is your next step? Okay, you've come to church, you've never accepted Christ. That's your next step. Accept Christ. Have you accepted Christ into your heart? Great. What's your next step? Be baptized and show outward proclamation of that you've accepted Christ. Be outward of it. Look at me. This is what I'm doing. This is who I follow. Have you done all that? Great. What's your next step? Do you go to Bible study? Do you spend time with other believers? Do you fellowship together? Do you spend time in the Word? Great. What's your next step? There, I almost made it. What's your next step? You do all these things? Okay. Who have you showed? Who have you helped? Who have you spoken to? Are you keeping it to yourself? Who have you shown how to pray? Who have you shown how to invite? Who have you shown how to read the Bible? Weird question, right? We all know how to read. But how many people have gotten, what part of the Bible do I start in? Where do I go? This is a big book. What do I do? Guide people. But then as you go, and you when you hit the, I don't know, God, what do? Show me your way. This is what the Lord says right here. So what do? After we accept Christ into our heart, what do we do after we've said, I love Jesus more than anything else? Now what? Okay. Go. Therefore, go. Go into the world. Share Christ with the world. We are not meant to sit here and wait for others. Those are pieces, little extra parts of how we invite people in. Through social media, through an event. If somebody shows up and walks in the door and you say, "Hey, it's great to see you. How did you hear about us?" I would hope that almost every single time they say, "So-and-so invited me." We've had, you know, you might have somebody, "Oh, I saw it online. Great." But if you rely only on that to bring people in, nobody's coming. You might get one or two, but that's not working. We're supposed to go out into the world and invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ through showing an example of who we are in our life because of Jesus Christ. So the disciples were told to go. And this has been carried on and carried on. And it's not just for us to read. We are all called to reach the world. Every mission of a church revolves around mostly the same thing. It's usually right around this. Our mission in our church is to love God, love people, reach the world. Most churches you go to are going to be somewhere around. They might word it differently, but it's all to get to the same point, to reach the world around us for Jesus Christ. And we do that through knowing God. Love God. First step, love God. Learn who God is. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. "Lord, forgive me for what I have done. I now know You, and I love You." Second step, love people, right? If you love God and you're representing God, you better love people, because Jesus loved people. Didn't matter who they were, didn't matter what they were doing, didn't matter what situation they were in, Jesus loved. Period. It wasn't Jesus loved because they did this. Jesus loved because they were here. Jesus loved openly and shared His love and shared the love and mercy of God to everyone. So share the love of God. Do you go out into the community? Do you go out into the world and do you act different? Are you mean? Are you rude? I pause for dramatic effect. But it's a serious question. How do you represent yourself in the world? Are you somebody that can be approached by others? Are you somebody that's willing to talk? Who knows? What if you're walking down the street and God just is pushing somebody and they don't know it? They're like, "I don't know what to do. I need to go talk to that person. I don't know why, but I just feel like I need to say hello. I'm stressed out. I'm thinking the worst things in the world and I need to say hello." Are you going to be open enough to say that? Or are you going to walk on the other side of the street and go, "What is this weird person doing? Why are they following me? Like, I don't know you. Oh, hi, bye." Or are you open enough to say, "Lord, use me in this"? Maybe it's just a hello. Maybe all they needed was the first friendly face, the first smile of their day for them to say, "Okay, Lord, I believe in You." Maybe they needed that smile to stay here one more day. Will you give it to them? You don't have to share the words. Not all of us are gifted in speaking. But I'm pretty sure, for the most part, we're all able to show ourselves happy, friendly, smile, more passion. We are called to be his disciples. And a disciple is a follower of Christ, a student of his teachings. A student learns the teachings that are shared to them. So we are learning who Christ is through prayer, through reading, through his guidance. And we are called to share that to the world. So we love God by accepting him into our heart. We love people by fellowshipping, joining a small group, praying with each other, building each other up, helping each other out in times of need, asking somebody, what do you need? How do I help you in this time? And we do that out in the world. We reach the world around us. So what is your next step? Because if you ask, why me? Because God chose you for a purpose to represent him. And why them? Because God chose them if they choose him. But they don't know him unless you share him. The world is going to share Christ. And they're going to hear about Christ, but it might not be in the right way. Trust me, if you Google it, it might not be the right answer. So we have to go out. Don't rely on the other things. Don't rely on the signs. Don't rely on the other people. If we're all waiting for the next person to do it, nobody's ever going to do it. I thought so-and-so was doing it. You go out. You share your life. You share the gospel. And if you don't have the words, if you don't know what to say, smile. Show the love of Christ through your actions. Show the love of Christ through who you are. And just be a light to the world. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. But I want to challenge you to some practical applications and take some steps. One, pray daily. Ask God for guidance and divine appointments through him to share the gospel. Just simply pray and say, Lord, lead me today where you want me to go and help me go to the people you want me to reach. And then be faithful to that. If you have a weird little inkling, it's like, I need to go sit down with that person. Do it. That might be God using you. Join, start a small group, fellowship, learn, read your Bible. Learn who Christ is through reading the Bible. Partner with different organizations to share the gospel. Like we said, we do a few things around here, right? We have Dress a Girl. Go meet people. We have the Chosen Basketball League. Go meet them. They're great. It's fun. Food pantry. Share the gospel through our actions. If one of those ways don't fit, find a way that fits for you. And lastly, be intentional about building relationships around you. First and foremost, build your relationship with the Lord. Build that relationship with God. Pray daily. Read the word daily. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes. It doesn't matter if it's 5 hours. Anything is better than zero. And I'm going to share this just because I recently shared it with someone else, and it's just something that I've done, I've thought of. If you are out of sorts, if you are out of your mindset of praying daily and reading the word daily, something I call toothbrush prayers. We all brush our teeth, hopefully. And if you're like me, I have that toothbrush that tells me when it's time to go from like the top of my mouth to the bottom. It's 2 minutes. I know if I pray while I'm brushing my teeth, what else am I going to do? Look in the mirror and say, you are looking fly. But you better have clean teeth to do that. So during brushing your teeth, something as simple as brushing your teeth, pray. Start the habit of prayer when you brush your teeth. And 5 minutes of the Word daily. And if you have a phone, which we all do for the most part, Bible app is the great way to do it. If you don't have a Bible, take one from under the seat in front of you, by all means. But if you want, if you're audio like me, 5 minutes in the Bible app. Download the Bible app. It is free. Start in the book of John. Yeah, reminds you to pray. 5 minutes a day, pray while you brush your teeth, build from there. And go out into the world and share the same thing and share the gospel and share the love of Christ through your actions. Sound good? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would just guide us, that you would be with us. I pray right now that as we go out into the world through our day, wherever you guide us, wherever you're with us, that you would use us for your glory. I pray right now that if there's those who haven't accepted Christ into their heart and haven't taken that first step, that they would have a burning desire for you. That if they want to know you and want to accept you, that they would simply repeat this prayer and just say, Lord, forgive me. I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to live the rest of my life with you. And Lord, if we've done that, I pray that we would take the next step of building fellowship and building a relationship with you and with others. So we can equip ourselves to learn and grow, to share the gospel around the world. And I pray that every day we wake up, we say, Lord, you have me here for a purpose. Use me today for your glory. And we thank you for filling us, filling the void within us that we can't fill without you. In your name we pray. Amen.